Goodwin, Ryan Curl, and Jedda Robinson. This is the MMA On Show.
Okay, so I think we should start with the top of last week's UFC card. Start with Dern and Rodriguez. Then let's talk about Randy Brown and Gooden. And then who cares? You know what I mean? Like, what else happened that was good? You know what I mean? Agapova's finish was cool.
Yeah. She looked good.
She did.
Chris Gutierrez looked good, I guess.
It was okay. The card was all right.
It was mid. Romanov is good, which we thought.
Yeah.
That's. And Lupita Godinez is back again.
Yeah, she did really well. That
Savage.
It was a big step up in competition for the girl she fought, and she was not able to make that step. Also, she's 36, so.
Let's just say that the podcast started already. Welcome to the MMA. There's no camera. I looked for the camera. We're not doing video this week because we don't want to.
Mid. Because this card is
It just mid. Doesn't deserve it. It simply doesn't deserve it.
This is a tough one.
Okay, let's go back up to the main event. Mackenzie Dern, Marina Rodriguez, which was a lot more interesting and competitive than I thought it was going to be. I will start with that.
Really?
Yeah, I just thought Dern, I don't know, man. Like, the skill gap on the feet was definitely evident. But the skill gap on the ground was equally evident.
Maybe more so.
Maybe, possibly, yeah.
I got exactly what I expected, honestly.
Yeah.
That fight was perfectly within my expectations.
I guess I didn't think that she was just going to have any success at getting the fight to the ground, so I just didn't think. And I kind of thought she would get stopped, which that didn't even come close to happening.
I guess, to be honest, you know what I am shocked about? I am shocked that Mackenzie got her on the ground and in bad positions and did not finish her.
Yeah.
I could not believe that.
So let's go back through the fight. I have some notes that I took through the fight, and we can talk about shit that happened kind of round by round. So the first round, both of them were kind of having a hard time finding range. But Dern was generally coming forward and kind of getting hit. But not by anything crazy hard.
A pattern that was
mostly just jabs and shit. You could tell the first time that they clinched up that Rodriguez did not want to be there at all.
Yep. Because her clinch is really strong.
Yeah.
Like, she's very good at using it. She was just like, nope.
Yeah. And it got into a super weird position. I don't know if you remember. It was almost like Dern was like crucifixed sort of against the cage. It was weird.
It was like a reverse crucifix.
Man. Yeah.
It was odd.
didn't end up getting a takedown there, but did, she threatened that, and that I think that was important to have that happen at some point in the first round, probably.
Yep.
I also noted here that Rodriguez has insanely long arms.
Oh,
just the longest arms, dude.
Yeah.
Which helps with her takedown defense majorly. Majorly.
So she was able to get that super wizard, whatever it was, that turned that in that crucifix position.
It was crazy.
She pulled her arm so far, dude.
Yeah, no doubt. Rodriguez pressed a lot after the clinch and definitely won the rest of the round. Really, she was targeting the body. And that's something that she did throughout the fight, as well as the legs, like the knee. And by the end of the fight, I don't know if Dern was hurt or not hurt, but her knee looked bad, like it was really visibly red.
Yeah, she just took a lot of damage. I don't think she was too worse for the wear, but it was evident she had been in a fight.
Yeah, and also very early on in the fight, like initially she was sort of holding fundamental form in things, but it was like not even out of the first round where she was already like ducking her head and looking at the ground and stuff when she was entering. And it's like, you can't be doing that at this level.
And the crazy thing is she was having success when she was following Perillo's advice.
Yeah.
He was like, I want you to go twice and then clinch. And then she did it, and it created that scramble that got her on the ground.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. So let's talk about that. That's round two. Dern looks to clinch literally right away, doing exactly that.
Yeah.
Look for a throw and basically kind of like sacrifice herself into a leg lock position, which, of course, she would use to sweep immediately. I mean, she's so good on the ground. It's unreal, dude.
She was totally fine with the throw failing. It didn't matter to her.
No, she didn't give a single fuck, dude.
So you want to revisit that fucking question you had last week about if Mackenzie back, will we survive a round?
Oh, yeah, no chance.
I was like, I want to give you the chance to admit that it was foolish that you would even ask.
No chance.
Yeah, you remember when I said not even a little bit?
If she touches my leg, she's just going to fall down, and then I'm going to fall down, and then she's going to rip my leg off. What do
you mean, bro? We're starting a turtle.
That is actually still our best bet.
I would still, TDH. We still get a fade ran off.
Maybe,
I will defend Nick and say that is probably the best starting position.
It is.
But
I think we're still fucked up,
but to be honest, I would stand on my square and still say that she just,
has such small limbs that they would just fit in and she would choke you.
She just slips her little limbs in and I get strangled.
No chance.
I don't think she has a super good chance of getting a joint lock to work on me. I think
probably not.
I think she strangles me pretty easy.
Okay, so Dern ends up in half guard, kind of looking for Neon Belly, just looking for different positions, probably trying to set up an arm or I thought a triangle for an arm or something. Honestly. Yeah, I mean, she just the thing about her is like, you don't see the setup. Like, she just is advancing position and waiting and waiting and waiting for you to fuck up, and then that's the thing that she'll take.
Yep.
That's what's sick about her game is like. Her jiu-jitsu is reactive to waiting for you to fuck up.
Yeah,
she's like a counter fighter in jiu-jitsu. Yeah, it's nasty.
She just like gets into a position where you have to make a choice.
Yeah.
And she chooses the other option.
Yeah.
It's like you are in a position where
you're either going to get triangled or you're going to get armbarred.
Yeah. It's like
you pick.
There's A or B and they have mutually exclusive defense.
Yeah.
And as soon as you pick, she does the other
one. Yeah. It's nuts. And she was looking for all sorts of shit. Also, I don't know if you guys remember the weird moment in the first round where Rodriguez had a weird sub attempt. Like, I don't think it really bothered her that much, but she did look mildly concerned about it. It was straight. It like looked like a darce, but like a darce. She was on the bottom.
Yeah, yeah.
So she didn't have control of a leg or anything. So I don't think she could have even finished it, but it looked like it was bothering her for sure.
It was tight and it was like locked up, but I think the position and McKenzie continuing to move kept it from being finishable, but it definitely sucked because McKenzie was moving way too much for it to be nothing.
Yeah. That
she was trying to get free for sure.
Yeah, for sure. That said, Dern gets out of that relatively easily, looks for an arm bar, ends up getting that crazy arm bar position with her leg where she's, I don't even know what she was trying to do.
It was like she was trying to finish a straight arm bar, but like without having control of her upper body.
And it was like and she was choking her at the same time.
Yeah, like normally. Nasty. In fact, we just saw somebody get finished like that recently, but normally that's from side control.
Yeah.
Some dude just finished somebody with a straight arm bar with his legs.
With his legs?
Yeah. It just happened like 2 weeks ago. Just happened. Yeah.
I must have missed that.
I can't remember the dude's name, but like
Ryan looks confused.
And McKenzie was behind her, like upside down, and was still trying it. I was like, if she finishes that, she is an octopus, dog.
Yeah.
I was like, that's wild.
Yeah.
I couldn't believe she even tried it. I was like, can she finish this from this?
Almost, dude.
Maybe.
Yeah, almost. It was very close. He was very close to getting stopped by strikes at a point in the round as well. Dern was just teeing off on her.
Yeah,
her ground and pound has evolved drastically.
A lot of people call that a 10-8 round.
It was for sure a 10-8 round. I don't know if it get scored as one? It should have, for sure.
It might have. I don't know.
I didn't see, but I thought for sure that was a 10-8 round. Yeah, because I think if you give her another 60 seconds, that fight's over.
And the crazy thing, too, is Rodriguez's face after that round when she's getting up, like you can see it. She was like, oh.
She was like, I can't be in this situation again.
That's why she's here.
Yeah.
Because like after the striking in the first round, she seemed really confident. And then like after that round, she was like, oh, no.
Yeah.
She's like,
yo, this is not where I want
to
be.
No doubt. That said, fucking hats off to Rodriguez for the rest of the fight, dude.
Yeah.
Three straight 10-9s. Pretty easy. She's kind of pinging her up. The fourth round, she was really pouring it on her. You know, I thought Perillo was giving good advice about, he said, we're getting hit moving backwards anyway, so go forward, which did lead to some success at moments, like you said earlier, but the skill gap was just too much.
Well, yeah, man. And I think it's like when you have a grappler who's going up against a really seasoned striker, even if you're giving them good advice that will work, having the confidence to implement it is hard because the striker is giving them looks that just freeze them.
Yeah.
They're doing things on purpose to make that advice hard to implement. Like, it's not like Marina didn't recognize that's what she was trying to do.
Right.
She wasn't just giving it to her.
Yeah. And she switched up some shit she was doing too defensively to like not allow those clinch situations to even occur.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And using more of the like long range straight kicks and straight punches, and then also punching way more in combination. Like, I noticed once she threw three punches, then it was like Dern was just going to back up and just try to get out of the way. And usually she was still landing because she just has crazy fucking long arms. Yeah. And Dern, you know, doesn't manage distance that well yet.
No.
Unfortunately.
Well, plus three is just too many, right? Like punches and bunches. As a grappler, she's like, oh, that's a lot of strikes. I'm going to disengage.
Yeah. Really, I thought I was impressed by both of them. You know what? I came out of it thinking as highly as I did of both of them before going into it, at least, if not more.
Yes and no.
Yeah.
I think Mackenzie's stock drops just a little bit only because Marina actually survived on the ground.
Yeah,
she got out of that position. I definitely thought she was going to get submitted.
Just barely, though.
But Mackenzie worked her badly in that position. It's not like she had no success. I mean, she was beating the tar out of her. So
what does Dern have to do? Just wrestle more? Or?
Yes. She needs to add wrestling. Adding wrestling will help her more than adding striking. But adding striking is good because kickboxing's tight.
I mean, dude, think about how much better Damian Maya got when he actually started like double legging and single legging people. Like he actually started wrestling.
And she's way more athletic.
Way
more. And like hooking the leg and dragging people to the ground. Like Damian was using very simple takedowns, but like he was just executing them perfect and entering on his timing well.
Yeah.
And like.
Because I think at one day, Mackenzie will be a pretty competent striker where it's like, okay, you have to respect her striking.
Yep.
But it's like, dude, we know where she wants to go.
How old is she?
She's like 26.
Yeah, I'd say 26, 27.
26, yeah. She might be younger than me.
Yeah, I mean, she's getting better a little bit. Maybe more confident. She's getting more confident, at least.
I think she's improved a lot. It's just she doesn't stay rooted in her techniques long when faced with adversity. Like, I think the amount she's improved in her striking is commendable, but there's such a big skill gap between her and Rodriguez that it was hard for you to see all that improvement in that fight. Like, Rodriguez is just too far above her for the improvement she's made to be visible.
Yeah, I get what you're saying. Yeah. Hmm. What's next for either of them?
Rodriguez gets Joanna champion, bro.
That's cool.
Yeah, I like that fight a lot.
That's cool.
It's old school versus new school.
Yeah, that's a fun fight.
I love that fight.
I don't know who I favor in that fight.
I mean, they're very similar to me. It's just Marina's got a better clinch. But other than that, they do a very similar thing.
A little bigger, maybe?
Yeah.
Yeah, she's pretty big for the division. Joanna's kind of big.
Joanna's not small.
Yeah, Joanna's like 5'6", though. She's pretty big.
Yeah. I don't know. I like that fight a lot.
That's sick.
How about Mackenzie?
Can you pull up the rankings?
She needed a little time off, first of all.
Yeah.
She took a lot of punishment.
Yeah. Where are they? Because where's Mackenzie at? Like,
she's four. Or, well, now it's updated. They basically just switched. Marina's four. Mackenzie's six now. So Nina's behind her, who she beat already, right?
Who, Mackenzie? Yeah. She beat her already.
How about Yan Xiaonan? She didn't fight her yet, did she?
No.
I don't think so.
I don't think that.
I think she'll, if she gets Yan to the ground, she'll beat her up.
Yeah,
she'll pull a Carla Esparza.
It's kind of, I mean, it's not that different than the fight that she just had. It's just like not as good of a striker.
Yeah.
But a good striker.
And honestly, I think worse takedown defense.
Probably. Yeah.
And so it's like the same fight, but more winnable.
Yeah.
And so I don't
Makes sense.
It. I kind of wanted to reset Mackenzie a little bit, give her fucking Tisha Torres, let her beat her up. Because I don't like Tisha Torres.
I mean, Tisha Torres looked pretty good in her last fight,
bro. She beat up Angie.
Yeah.
She put hands on Angie, man.
She did put hands on Angie.
And her takedown defense is pretty solid. Yeah. It's all right.
It's okay.
Yeah, honestly, there's a lot of interesting options for... You could give her a name, too, if you wanted to just give her a name and give her, like, Angie. I know Angie's, like, way down in the rankings, but...
Yeah, that's a cool
she's
fight.
She's a name.
It's a cool fight, but it doesn't make sense for Mackenzie.
Yeah.
No, not really. But it's a really winnable fight, and she has a name.
It's a cool fight, though.
It is a cool fight.
I don't hate it.
I don't hate it at all.
I'll be fucking pissed if they make it.
It's a fans fight. Yeah, I feel bad for Angie and that one if it goes to the ground.
Don't feel bad.
That's why I just feel like it's super winnable for... But if you're Angie, like, why not gamble on yourself?
Oh, yeah. It makes all the sense in the world.
And you can build Dern's name a little bit, because I do think Angie's kind of got a brand a little bit.
Yeah.
I don't know, though. She's way down the rankings. She's 14.
Yeah.
There's just like not a lot of names in between there. Watterson, I guess. Michelle Watterson.
That's a cool fight.
Yeah.
And she'll be a little bit tougher to take down. Mackenzie will get kicked a lot, but Mackenzie's a lot bigger than her, too.
A lot bigger.
That'll be
dude, how jacked is Mackenzie now, by the way?
She looks really good, man.
She's just gotten into incredible shape. For someone that used to have a hard time making 125.
She took it personal.
She's straight shredded now, dog. Yeah, dude. Michael Jordan mean that motherfucker.
It became personal for me.
Man.
She did take it serious, man. Like, but that's tight, though.
Man.
Because it just showed that motherfuckers are just capping.
Yeah, she double cheeked up, dog. Like, yeah.
She's looking good these days.
That's not exactly what I was saying, Ryan. But
well, that's what I was thinking.
I mean, I'm sure that is what you were thinking.
I mean, technically, she was more cheeked up when she was missing weight, if we want to be.
Probably.
If we want to be technical.
Okay.
But she was coming at 128.
Boy. Let's talk Randy Brown and Jared Gooden, too, just because it was a badass fight.
It was.
I'll run us through the notes on the rounds here. Actually, my notes are pretty shitty for that fight. But I don't know. I thought they both looked pretty good at times, but Brown is just good, man.
Yeah.
He's just really maturing and becoming like a really seasoned striker.
Yeah, you know what I mean? That fight was about what I expected to. Like, we just saw Randy Brown come out and control it mostly, but Gooden had his moments and showed a granite chin.
No doubt, dude. Randy was landing clean as shit.
I know that there was a certain point where Randy was landing shots, and he was looking at him like, for real? All right, I'll keep hitting you then.
Yeah, bro.
And
he's good, too, at not getting hit clean. But not to say that he didn't get hit clean. He did.
Yeah.
But he's good at taking stuff off his gloves and shit.
Yeah, he's good at avoiding it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was.
It was a front kick he threw to fucking
at the very beginning. Oh, my goodness.
That was black on black. Yike. Crime.
Yeah. That's them boys from Enough is Enough going to be around the corner talking about stop the violence. Ernie Chambers going to show up with his cutoff sweater.
Good Lord. We got an Ernie Chambers reference.
Yeah, that's for all you Omaha people.
My goodness. Did you guys ever see that design I made that I wanted to make into a t-shirt that had Ernie Chambers on it?
No.
Dude, it's the shit.
Does he have a do-rag on?
That sounds
It doesn't have a do-rag on. It's so disrespectful.
You know who I want to see.
So you're saying Ernie ain't got the waves?
If I saw a picture of him with the do-rag on, maybe I would do it. But
he's got the old school black dude afro. Him and Don King have the exact same cut. Don King is just
his
more
extreme. His shit is thick, though.
Yeah.
Like, he's a great head of hair. It is impressive.
Is a wonderful
How old is that guy?
He's got to be in his 70s now.
Probably. Dude, we're getting into some specific shit right now.
Just straight up tangent about local politicians.
He's a legend, though, for real.
So
you should know who Ernie Chambers is.
For the people who don't know, Ernie Chambers is, I believe, a district council person or something? Runs city council?
Or is he he's a senator.
He's a state senator.
For the
district in North Omaha.
Yeah.
So it's super duper regional for anyone who's not from here. Even if you're from Omaha, if you live somewhere that's not North Omaha, you might not know who Ernie Chambers is.
And if you pay attention to politics, you do.
Yeah. If you pay attention to politics,
He's a big name. He's always making a splash.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, Ernie's the shit. Ernie's the shit.
It's a good pull.
I don't really have anything else to say about this other than that I enjoyed watching it.
It was a good fight, man.
And then I came out of it thinking that it was two guys that are both pretty fucking good having a good day against each other. And they just both look, except the only really bad part was that Randy Brown's toe was pointing the wrong way.
Right. And, you know, Gooden wasn't as outmatched in the striking as I thought he would
be. No, he's good, man.
He was closer to Randy Brown in skill than I thought.
He's good. He just couldn't land as cleanly. And the range was just... just an issue, man. But that's just because Randy Brown's good.
Yeah.
What are you gonna do?
A struggle.
Gonna get hit. He's good.
Yeah. Fuck yeah.
Okay. The rest of the card is what it is. So.
Mid.
All right. Let's talk about Tyson Fury and Deontay Wilder. I would say it was mostly one sided. Is that fair?
The majority of the fight was one-sided.
Right. There was a round that definitely did not go the way that Tyson Fury had planned on it going.
Deontay Wilder's moments of success were so dramatic that you can't call the fight one-sided. But
sure.
You would not be wrong for saying most of the fight was one-sided. Yeah.
And if you broke the fight down in terms of round-by-round breakdown, and you just watch the rounds individually as like individual fights, you'd be like, damn, mostly Tyson Fury kicked his ass.
I think I had it like 3 rounds to 8 Fury in the time of stoppage.
Yeah. But some of Fury's rounds were really fucking dramatic too. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's true.
And Wilder, there was moments where I was just like, I don't even know, like, Wilder, I don't even know how Wilder's standing up.
Heart, that's about it.
Man. Yeah, he's a beast, because bro. There's no question.
Man was sucking wind at the end of round two.
Straight up. Yeah. The weight gain.
Mouth breathing.
I don't know if that went according to plan.
Well, see, and I kind of understand why he wanted to do that, because he doesn't want this dude to clinch on him.
Yeah, but he did it anyways.
But like, yeah, he's going to do it anyway.
And he did it with complete impunity. He did whatever he wanted.
Because the way you get someone to not lean on you is to move and stick them with your jab.
Yeah.
It's all footwork. And even still, if the guy's that much taller than you, that much longer than you, he's still going to lean on you some. And Tyson is the better mover and has the better jab. So
yeah.
Clinching is actually kind of easy for him in the matchup.
Yeah.
It's not a...
I mean, it was everything was easy for him in the matchup, man. The first round fooled so many fucking people on Twitter, dude. So many people on Twitter were like, oh my God, look at Deontay. He's got that jab. He's jabbing to the body. And I was texting you guys and I was like,
yeah,
you're not fooling me.
Nick I was so proud not of him a believer. For coming you're out not fooling and doing
me.
That.
I, for sure. Listen, he did I'm what he was cool. asked to do, right?
Yeah.
Which was, we're going to show some new offensive tools. The problem is, he still can't fucking fight moving backwards at all. He just can't do it. Right. It's not in him.
Hey, Deontay Wilder's not a good boxer. Oh, my God.
But here's the thing. Is like, if you're going to try to add a new thing, why don't you try to add like a check hook or something simple that he can do moving backward? You know what I mean? Like,
he has the ability for the check hook because he kept throwing it in the Ortiz fight. It's yeah. just he has like a lot of he has a decent amount of tools.
Yeah.
It's just him starting boxing at 19. Like there's no yeah, real amateur.
It's pretty
pedigree,
impossible.
Man. Like yeah. that's where you learn like your fight IQ knowing yeah. hey and drilling shit in. It's like at this point, Deontay's with coaches where they're like, okay, cool, you do this well, so let's just focus on doing
yeah.
this. But like they don't add different wrinkles to hey, if we do this to set up your right hand, like disguising.
Well, they did, and that's what the body punching was supposed to be for. My point is like if you're going to add anything, it give him something moving because he's always got the right hand moving forward that is just absolutely legendary.
Yeah.
Maybe the greatest one punch knockout artist that's ever fucking lived, bro.
Fuck, it's up
you
there.
It would be hard pressed to find somebody that has
just demos people with a single
with
punch
one
more
shot.
Often.
I mean 41 of 41 in the first. I mean, are you kidding me, bro?
Well, there's a reason.
That's insane.
There's a reason he doesn't have other skills.
Yeah.
Because
he's a legend. Look, there's no question. This motherfucker is a legend.
He's the second best
bro.
Heavyweight in his era.
Exactly. He's
maybe.
Hella good.
He might be.
He's hella good at fighting. But that said, he's not a super good boxer.
Also, what needs to be discussed is Tyson Fury's ability to take one of those bombs and recover.
Man.
Because I've seen a whole bunch of them fucking right hands leave niggas stiff.
And the first knockdown that he stood up from, I was impressed. The second knockdown wasn't as clean. I was
I think he was just still gone.
I was shocked he even went down from that one, honestly. But I don't think he was too hurt.
It was weird, though. It was like here.
Yeah. I think Tyson has like this, I guess, recognition knowing when he's still hurt and he's like, bro, I can't really take another clean Surratt. So he'll like go down to
get
himself
he's
that
smart
time to
shit,
recover.
Dude. Yeah.
So like, I think that's just like advanced knowledge. Like that's great fight IQ saying, you know what?
And you're going to lose that round 10-8 already anyway.
Exactly.
Here's the question that I have. So on the knockdown, I saw a lot of people talking about this on Twitter.
Which one?
The Wilder knockdown. I think it was the first one.
You hit him with that right.
But people on Twitter were bitching and moaning about why the ref didn't start counting. Did everyone see? No one saw this? Maybe it was the second knock. It was one of the two.
Were like, why didn't he start counting when he told like Deontay to go to his fucking corner?
Correct.
Which you can do. Which you're
correct.
Supposed
you're,
to
what's,
do.
It's what you're supposed
because
to do.
Because the referee does not start counting until you're in a neutral
exactly.
corner.
That's why they'll run to the neutral corner. Look, anybody that's ever watched boxing ever knows that, right?
Yeah.
The people legitimately turned into fucking conspiracy theory based on race.
Hey, Nick.
In 45 seconds.
You remember that joke I made when I said Jordan Wright beating up that nigga earlier looked racist? I was joking. People on Twitter aren't.
It's
there
crazy,
were genuinely
bro.
Black people who believed Tyson Fury defeating a black man is racist. There were people who believed that Tom Brady defeating Patrick Mahomes in the Super Bowl was
very
racist.
True.
Patrick Mahomes isn't even black, is he?
He's like half black, I think.
He's mixed. For sure, like half nigga. What?
I mean, just
I thought he was Mexican or something.
Same shade.
No, bro, he's definitely half black. Look at his hair.
The same
he
could color.
Be. I thought he was Mexican.
I mean, he could be that color, but I don't think he gets that hair texture if he's half Mexican.
Yeah, maybe not.
Black and played in yeah. the major league.
Yeah, you're probably right.
But
you're probably right.
The point I'm making is there's unfortunately some people of mine who think that everything is racist, even when it's not. There are plenty of racist things, and make calling them racist is fine.
Yeah.
But if a white guy just wins a fight against a black dude,
what are you gonna do,
niggas?
That's not always racist.
What are you gonna do?
It'd be like that.
It'd be like that sometimes. So I've listened to a bunch of people's analysis of this fight, most of which I've disagreed with, which is neither here nor there.
Hating ass nigga.
Man, my favorite, this is some deep lore for you guys. My favorite angry Nick rant about this fight. He's like texting us the whole time.
Dude,
right?
I was so mad.
And there's a point where Nick is so far in his dislike of fucking Wilder stands that he's like, Tyson Fury went down on purpose, bro. He was can't hit him. He was throwing the fight.
Straight up, dog.
Put my phone down. And I was rolling
oh,
on
yeah,
my couch.
Bro.
That was the
I
goal.
Was like, no, sir. I was entertaining this.
I was laughing so hard.
I'm so pleased. I'm so pleased.
Smoking
like,
after that shit.
I'm
mind.
So pleased. That was
he
the.
Was like, he was like, I'm just thinking through this. I'm like,
I was
I'm
like,
not
how can I
think through this? No.
I was like, how can I? Like, how absurd can I make this bit?
Oh my no. God.
And I was like, this is it. This is how I can make it
as soon as I saw that,
maximum
I
was absurd.
As soon as like, I saw it, I was like, I'm absolutely going to mention that on the podcast.
That's so good.
I was
dude.
Like, because that was hilarious.
But thank you.
There's some deep lore
I'm glad.
There.
I'm glad. Intended goal.
I was rolling, dude.
Fuck yeah.
Oh, man.
Nothing makes me happier.
Got tears in my eyes now.
He does. He does. I do
just,
too,
like,
actually.
I remember looking at my screen. I was like, bro, what? I hate you.
Oh, my God.
I hate you.
That's why I was laughing because I knew
dude,
that
I
that's exactly
howling.
What you were saying.
I was laying I was like, in a hotel I bed. I was laying in a hotel bed howling, sending these text messages.
Oh my God.
I looked at my dog. It's amazing. Like, bro, I hate this nigga. I hate him.
Okay. Let's wax poetic about how good Tyson Fury is for just a moment.
I'm going to tug that nigga off, bro. What you
bro,
mean?
He's
the best heavyweight of his generation?
Yes. Easily the best heavyweight of his generation. It's not even close. There's a large gap.
Yeah.
Between him and whoever number two
Deontay.
Is. I think it's Deontay.
Yeah.
I would say I think it's
Deontay.
Because at this
thing,
point in like, time, I think it's Deontay.
Yeah, that's right.
You can still hit Usyk kind of clean, and I just don't know if he eats a shot off that fucking...
Well, Usyk level. Just has a lot of work to do in the weight class. He's fought once or twice or whatever.
He beat AJ.
It was it? Listen, he's off to a fucking flying start.
Yeah,
don't
he's
get me wrong.
Good. He beat AJ, and people think that thought for a while AJ and Wilder was the fight to make. So he's got to be pretty damn good.
Yeah. But the problem is like resumes do matter in historical context, and Usyk just has a lot of like AJ's got some really good wins. Mm-hmm. AJ's beat pretty much everybody,
yeah,
for and including some good dudes from the last generation. So
yeah, he's
AJ's
not up there for
AJ's
no
resume is
great.
It's really really good. Unfortunately, he has some bad losses,
really
and that hurts.
Loss.
Man, it does.
So that's what puts him. Even though his resume is probably a little bit better than Deontay Wilder's, unless they fight each other, which I would love to see.
Until recently, I would, in fact, even now, I would still say that AJ's the better fighter. I do think Deontay could beat him in a fight at this point. Because Deontay has shown that he can land that shot against the best boxer who's around and drop him. And so
and I'm not sure AJ
he's going
can take that
to
shot.
Blow that nigga's head off.
Do you think they'll fight though?
No, I don't think so. But arguing that he couldn't land that shot on AJ doesn't make sense anymore.
And it's hard to.
It doesn't make sense.
Because he's done it to Tyson twice.
Yeah,
in two separate fights.
But in terms of like their timeline, because AJ
no, I guess
invoked
three times because it happened in the first fight too.
Yeah,
knocked that nigga shit off.
Well, he did. Fury didn't get hurt in the second fight. At
no,
all.
No. Okay, I was thinking wrong. So it was the first fight.
Fury,
and the third
did,
fight.
Yeah, first
so
one
it
and
was
three.
Twice.
Yeah,
if for some reason I was thinking it was in the second
times,
round too.
Or
three times.
Yeah, four times. No, dropped him in the seventh round in the first fight, 12th round in the first fight, and dropped him twice in the fourth.
Oh yeah, you're right.
Yeah, punched shit out that nigga dog.
Yeah, you really did.
But, well, there's a lot to be said for punching power.
Man, well, AJ and fucking Usyk, AJ like invoked the rematch. So
okay,
AJ's
so they're
gonna
run
get
that back.
Beat up in a couple months.
Yep.
No, I don't think he's gonna get beat up. It's not like he got beat up in that. He just lost.
He got touched up.
He did, but he landed his shots.
Yeah.
I thought that he wobbled Usyk a little bit at a couple, not like badly, but you know.
Usyk
he's a heavyweight.
Usyk was fucking that nigga shit up in that 12th round.
For sure. For
I mean,
sure.
He
Usyk ended the fight very, very well.
He absolutely had success.
Yeah.
I would say that Usyk he won that fight pretty
clearly.
Yeah. So, I mean, he's going to go get touched up by Usyk again in a couple months. And then, I mean, I guess, well, Deontay's got a 6-month suspension, so maybe. Yeah,
Deontay's going to wait for a while.
I just don't think they'll ever make that fight.
It's boxing.
Yeah. I just don't think they'll do it.
I don't think that fight really
matters. How much money they have lost?
I don't think that fight really matters anymore.
Nope. Who finds out? It does a little bit. It's like, okay, who is number two?
It's good for a wrap up of the current drama. But AJ has to beat Usyk. Yeah,
he does. It's all contingent on AJ beating Usyk, because then at that point it's like, well, shit, I need to see.
I don't think AJ necessarily has to beat Usyk. It's not, because you got to look at the whole resume. And maybe Usyk, but here's the thing about Usyk is like, Usyk's younger, right? Like, significantly?
I don't think so, sir. Usyk has like a super old, it's true. Amateur background. He's like Lomachenko.
Yeah, he didn't turn pro until he was like 28 or some shit.
Yeah, bro, like they fight till they're like fucking 30 and then they go pro.
Yeah, you're right.
That's what I'm saying.
But the thing is, like, you can't... Usyk's resume is just not even close. I know he's got that one really good win, but Andrew Ruiz also beat Anthony Joshua, and he's not even in the conversation at fucking all. So... You can't put Usyk in there yet at all. I don't even think he's close. He could get himself in there.
Is that cruiserweight dog for sure? World champ.
Usyk's. But when you're just talking about just best heavyweights of the generation, he's just not in the conversation yet.
Yeah, because I mean he has that. But I'm just saying though, in order for like the Wilder Joshua fight to have that appeal, AJ has to beat Usyk.
It would help.
Yeah,
tremendously. It would help
because then at that point, if AJ loses to Usyk twice, well, the fight to make would. If you're not going to make Fury in fucking Usyk, you'd make Deontay.
Well, at that point, you're probably going
to
make Fury.
That fight's more interesting to me.
Yeah, but even Deontay and Usyk at that point is not even that great of a fight. No. Like, it'll be very clear, at least in my opinion, that Usyk and Fury have the chance to be the two best. Like, you have to see Usyk against Fury if he beats AJ.
Yeah.
Because Tyson has already beaten Wilder, and AJ has already lost to Usyk.
Yeah.
So those two are kind of out of the conversation for the top, at least at this point in time.
I think what will probably actually happen is AJ probably will lose to Usyk and then beat some random person, and they'll come up with some rationale to do him in Fury just for money.
That's fair. It'll sell.
That seems likely.
I don't think it's the best fight. I think Usyk will probably win, and then he'll fight Fury, and Fury will beat him. And then I think AJ will fight one random person and win, and they're not going to give Usyk a run back. They're going to shuffle AJ in there.
They'll definitely do that if they can. Of course, I mean, they'd be stupid to not.
The only way Usyk gets, like, a full trilogy is if he beats Tyson the first fight.
Yeah. I don't see how he... I mean, we're a long ways away
from that. I don't think he would do that.
And who even knows? Maybe Usyk fights this rematch against AJ, and then he's like, you think I'm going to fight this 6'9 guy? Are you fucking crazy? I'm going back to cruiserweight, dog. Like, fuck you.
AJ, come out and start him,
dog. And he just lets the belts go, and then you can do whatever with those belts. You know what I mean? You let Fury fight whoever for him.
Yep.
Bada boom. That's probably what's actually going to happen. I don't think Usyk and Fury will ever be made.
If he could, but dude,
the size discrepancy is insane.
See, if he vacates the belts, what I would love to see happen is the title eliminator between AJ and Wilder.
Yeah, that's cool.
Then you have a reason to make that fight.
That's cool. I'm cool with that.
Then we get Wilder Fury 4.
Probably, but like...
But also...
Yeah, dude, they were advocating. They were fucking advocating for it on the broadcast. Which, look, it's just gross, dude.
Why?
We didn't see that because we were listening to the British broadcast.
It was dope, dog. It was great. BT does an excellent job covering.
They were homering to Fury pretty heavy.
For sure.
Oh my god, it's almost like they have to.
Pretty heavy, but not. But I guarantee not nearly as badly as the Americans were pandering to Wilder.
He was on the fucking broadcast, like Timothy Bradley, Andre Ward.
I'm sure it was horrific. Yeah, I'm sure they were trying. I'm sure they had millions of Americans convinced that fight was competitive.
Yeah.
I'm sure.
I did see a whole bunch of tweets on Twitter saying, you know, Wilder kind of, you know, this fight may be close, and I was like, this fight ain't close, G. Nah,
it just wasn't.
It's gonna go down as a classic fight because of the back and forth action.
For sure,
lots of people believe,
and it should.
I mean, yes and no.
I guess
I can
even
see why,
though we're both in agreement.
Yeah, I can see why people want to call it a classic fight from an action standpoint.
Yes,
but to say that it was a back and forth fight is a little misleading.
Exactly,
like. Each fighter had excellent moments. Each fighter had moments where they could have won the fight, potentially. Yeah. But Deontay's moments were exactly what you thought they would be. Flashes in the pan of really devastating one-punch power. And not much else.
Yeah.
I mean, to say that Deontay Wilder has a puncher's chance against the greatest fighter of his era, okay, and what did you learn? Like anybody knew that before they fought.
And that ultimately was my problem with the bout being made is like, okay, the reason why we do rematches is because we feel like we need to learn something new, and we didn't learn anything new. And Deontay Wilder got beat up really bad. And then that, like, because of that, like in context, I just don't like what happened with that fight, man. Like, again, I understand everything. I agree with everything that you're saying about it. It's totally going to be a classic bout that, but it's like, if Deontay Wilder ends up like Muhammad Ali because of bouts like this, it's like,
I mean, kind of, he's not going to be
worth it.
I don't think he's going to get put on Ali's level only because
he's going to be a hood hero, dog.
I think the guys from that era were genuinely more talented.
Yeah, for sure. In terms of skills, for sure.
They were just more polished.
Yeah.
But, there's no denying that this fight is going to have like that type of effect for this era. Like,
yeah.
That was probably this era's like Ali versus Norton or Ali versus Frazier.
That's probably true. Yeah. That's probably true. It was fun. Like in and of itself. I don't know. I was pissed about it. I don't
want to compare it to that trilogy, but like genuinely, Ryan, what else do you call it?
The action was really good.
So much fun. I enjoyed it. Well, and I enjoyed every bit.
Here's the thing about Fury is like you have to put this fight because the fight aesthetically wasn't great even for Fury, who's normally like so very slick. But the thing is like when you put all three of these fights in context of each other and how much Fury changed and how many different things that he showed and the fact that he's this dog, he's a dog and he's a fucking total athletic unicorn, like so big, so athletic, so agile, so fast, quick. It's like there's nobody in like heavyweight boxing history that you're like, this dude would beat the shit out of him. Nobody. Who? Nobody, dude. He is entered, it's really a really elite company.
Yeah.
And it's cool. And I hope he gets that recognition. You know what I mean? Like, I hope we give this motherfucker his flowers before he's dead because it too often doesn't happen. You know what I mean? Guys don't get their respect until, you know, 60 years later. And these, like, boxing historians are like, hey, did you know this guy was actually, like, statistically the best boxer ever?
Well, we talked about this a little bit earlier, man. You got to have those, like, marquee moments, man.
Yeah.
And, like, it doesn't matter how good you are if you don't have them.
Yeah, it's true. So that was one.
Yeah, that was definitely one of. That's why this fight would be so significant for both of them, actually.
And I think when we look back and put stuff back into context, like that Klitschko win is going to look really good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
like he's got a bunch of wins Klitschko. That are going to look good.
So, see, that's the thing. That's who is the prime example of what Nick's talking about. When history looks back on Klitschko, they're going to be praising the out of him.
Yeah.
But nobody talks about Klitschko right now. Nobody even talked about him in his prime.
No.
People could not wait for him to lose because they thought he was boring.
Yeah.
You know how many times I heard the phrase jab and grab while he was a champion?
Which sucks, dude, because he actually just starched people for most of his career.
And they said the same thing about Lennox Lewis, jab and grab.
Who's, like, again, another one of the greatest ever.
We hated both of the champions after Mike Tyson because he had so many marquee moments.
Yeah. Against bad fighters.
Yeah. But the moments were incredible. Yeah,
it's true.
And so being the best isn't enough to be remembered fondly.
Yeah.
You need moments like this fight, which is why it's important.
And the way it finished, too, was just, my God.
It was vicious, bro. That hook, that was an older brother hook. It was mean.
Yeah. And for both of them, in a way, I'm glad that it wasn't stopped early at all.
Fuck no.
Because I couldn't have taken listening to Deontay Wilder talk about why he lost because of a helmet or something.
Man, so he was kind of salty after that fight was over though.
I get it though. I like he acted like kind of like a bitch, but
yes, I know.
He just got his ass kicked.
I kind of get it, but I also kind of don't. Day.
Go on.
It was cool.
Well, I mean, he just like you already said it. He kind of just acted like a little bitch. Like. Yeah. You're fighting the heavyweight champion of the world. You've already lost one fight to him. You've got a draw in your other fight with him.
And most people think you lost.
Yeah. And you just put in the best effort you possibly could. This
straight
fight
up.
Literally could not have gone better for you, and you still lost. Everything that could go your way did.
Yeah.
Like, what else does Deontay Wilder do?
Nothing.
How, what else could he have done?
Not a damn thing.
So don't be salty, nigga. Just be like, good fight. And just hold that shit.
Yeah.
Like, if there was something more you could have done, or you could have been better, or you made a mistake, or the other guy cheated, or whatever, I get it. I get being salty in that moment. But when he looks at that performance, if that motherfucker watches that film and says, I can still beat this nigga, he is delusional.
Bomb squad.
Nah, you're right. There's nothing else that needs to be said.
Bro, if I'm his coach, I'm happy as fuck with that effort. Yeah. I'm like, hey, man, we did what we came here to do.
I mean, and he kind of did say that, to be fair. He did eventually kind of. He was just like, he's just better than, or was better than me tonight or whatever.
Which is, they say. I hate that shit. It's so garbage. It's the fakest version of being a gentleman. Yeah. Oh, the better man won tonight.
The better man won tonight. He was the better man tonight.
They just put so much effort on tonight.
See me next Tuesday around 7:45, though.
Tomorrow, though, let me hydrate and eat some carbs, though. Tomorrow,
though?
Whooping ass.
Run it back at the gym.
Yeah, exactly. I got time, cuz.
Oh, my goodness. All right, well.
I hate it.
So Fury has a mandatory next, and I can't remember
the winner
who it is.
Of fucking Dillian White and fucking Otto Valine.
Oh, so Dillian White.
Yeah,
okay. I don't hate that. I mean, he's gonna beat the shit out of him probably. Okay. But it's a nice name.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they have to either make the Usyk Joshua winner for like the unification, or you have to fight the mandatory.
Right.
So they got so. We're going to see.
It'll be Dillian White for sure.
Yeah, probably. And then he gets to go beat up.
Or maybe I mean Valine's not like terrible.
I already fought and I already saw I know. That happen, so I don't give a fuck.
But it got a little tricky there for a second.
Tyson had a vagina open up over his fucking eye.
That does hurt.
Yeah, and then Valine was like raking it. I was like, oh, dude, fuck this guy.
Well, he's crafty, but listen, what are you going to do? I was pissed at the time, though. I was livid.
Yeah. I believe that's what they call a pro gamer move.
Ho nigga shit.
It was rough. It was rough. We just talked about Fury and Wilder for so long, and I'm so glad because it was the most important thing to talk about by far.
I mean, okay. It was the best fight that happened that week.
Yeah, it was pretty. It was pretty epic. It was fucking epic, dude. I'll say that. As much as again, I'm annoyed by some of the contextual elements of this. It was in and of itself pretty dope.
That's because you want Tyson to get his respect.
I do, man. Nuts, I do. I think he's.
Nick's tired of
black people. He's one of the best ever.
Easy. Black people are being racist against Tyson and he's not having it.
It's actually funny to me, to be honest. It's funny. It's funny.
It is odd, though. Like, a lot of the criticisms of Tyson are kind of...
They're strange, dude.
I'm like, bro, come on.
I think he is a little MAGA, which obviously I'm not super hyped about, but also he's just like this goofy British traveler guy that... He's like why do egg. I care what he thinks
he does have
about job. American politics?
Listen, man, when you listen to the guy talk...
Him and Boris Johnson flip hoes together.
Probably.
I believe that.
I don't think he fucks with Boris, though. I think Fury's just his own kind of guy.
Yeah, Fury don't give a shit about people.
No, he's a traveling...
I think he likes Trump because he thinks he's funny. And, you know...
And Tyson is funny.
Fair point.
And when he's not being goofy, when he's not trolling, he's got a good head on his shoulders when you listen to the guy talk. And he's been through a lot of shit.
Oh, for sure.
And so, like...
For sure.
Some of it, you know, was
his
own creation.
Did you hear that fucking reporter, like, after? Fucking Tyson was sitting there, shirt off, with him and Sugar Hill, and I was like, bro, somebody needs to put a shirt on these two flabby-ass niggas.
But never.
The reporter was, like, listing off Tyson's accomplishments and shit, and he's like, you know, you've done this, you completed the trilogy. He's like, so do you think you'll go back into a depression now? And Tyson was, like, so uncomfortable. He was like, you know, hopefully not, but... Yeah, bro, you didn't see that?
No.
Oh, it was horrible.
I stopped watching the interview.
What a question. It was like,
that's horrific.
Oh, it was terrible.
You know, I hate to say this, but I hope they write that motherfucker's name down and suddenly his credentials just don't ever get renewed.
Yeah.
Yeah, no more credentials like, for that guy.
Fuck?
What a dickhead question.
He was
question.
Like, yeah, he's like, you know, battling with depression. It's like an everyday thing. It just doesn't go away. He's like, but, you know, hopefully not. I was like,
what the fuck?
Bro,
dude?
You didn't. Oh,
no,
dude,
I shut it off.
Wild. Yeah,
who went to bed? I don't know.
Holy shit, dude!
What a psycho!
But Sugar Hill was like,
"That's the meanest question I think I've ever heard."
Dude, can we talk just real briefly about how there's just the most insane combat sports journalists that just get
pink
just
suit
get
guy.
These jobs?
Pink suit guy talking shit to Connor.
Dude, there's so many. What the fuck? How do these people get jobs?
It's like.
We exist.
It genuinely seems like there are a lot of people who like went to school for journalism, who wanted to write about something else.
Dude, I don't. Well, that's true too.
About sports.
Okay, so those are like the, and those are the good ones.
The dickheads at Bloody Elbow.
Those are the good ones. Then you have the insane ones that are just like working for some rogue, weird internet publication that gets credentials somehow.
And then like they just shit on everything. I hate it. Like,
yeah.
And it, I mean, it's in all forms of journalism, right? Like there are just some shitty journalists. True. Like it just be that way. Like my people I hate the most are over at Rock Paper Shotgun. Fuck you guys. It's the worst fucking gaming journalist on earth.
He hates it.
Yeah, they fucking suck, dude.
Fuck them.
Yeah.
What is it called? Rock Paper what?
Rock Paper Shotgun. It's a deep pull.
Rock Paper Shotgun.
Yeah, they fucking suck. Not the order. Yeah, they write the shittiest, most casual articles about games. Oh, this game's
I'm bringing the fucking shoddy to a goddamn scissor fight, nigga. What's up?
This game's too hard. It makes my thumbs hurt. Why do I have to think when I play it?
Fucking
bitches.
Reasonable.
Chad hates it.
Sensible ass niggas over there.
Okay, so we're 45 minutes into this. Let's jump on into this week's card.
Let's get it.
Okay. First up. Yeah, that's right. Estelia Nunes and Ariana Carnelosi.
Who are these niggas?
Well, Ryan, they are two. I think they should be fighting at a. What's it called?
I can tell you.
The light strawweight, because Nunes is an atomweight.
Oh, fuck. So she's tiny.
5'4", yeah, 105. Yeah, must be 115.
Yeah, so they got to be fighting 115.
Is she related to
Amanda? Because all Nunes look alike?
Well, she's a part of American Top Team / Team Nunes. Isn't that Amanda's shit?
Maybe.
Sure. I don't know. I know Amanda's American Top Team. I didn't know Amanda had a Team Nunes shit.
But
is that like Taylor gang?
She's like big Muay Thai background. She's a kickboxer for a long time. So maybe, maybe not. I don't know.
No, there's no way Amanda Nunes then, dog, because Amanda didn't have hands for the hottest of minutes.
Yeah, I was saying, Amanda wasn't really kickboxing background.
She'd be grappling.
But I like Estella so far, what I've seen. Pretty strong Muay Thai. So she's 6-1, 2 KOs, 4 decisions. Was 5-0 when she was given her title shot and won and fought against Angela Lee. Lost that one via anaconda choke. Yeah. Was controlling the stand-up, though. It's just Angela was able to enter on clinches pretty easily. Like, but when they were standing, she was doing fine. But Angela took her down pretty easy, and then she fought another woman, a Japanese lady. Can't remember her name. It escapes me right now, but... same thing. She was controlling the striking, and then when she got into the clinch, she got taken down and kind of held down for a while. So she seems like a typical Muay Thai fighter. She is very strong with kickboxing, stays at range, very disciplined. She's not like a super hard hitter, doesn't take a lot of risks. She's no Rod Tang, but she'll get in there and she'll get up
God
there.
Tang.
Yeah, exactly. She'll get in there and piece up a motherfucker who can't strike, that's for sure. Kicks are real snappy.
Terrifying.
Lots of quickness, man. She's good. She's going to be interesting to watch.
So it'll be fun.
Yeah.
Is what you're telling me.
Yeah, exactly.
What does Carnelosi do?
Carnelosi is a fucking muscle hamster.
Love it.
Yeah. So
me too.
She has the famous Brazilian black belt in Muay Thai, which I don't fucking understand. I don't know what that means. But
some of them do belts.
But she is just jacked as shit and always comes forward. She is a slugger for sure. So this is going to be a very typical, like, Bull and Matador style fight.
Hell yeah.
Carnelosi has 9 KOs and 1 submission. She's won 4 out of her last 5, but she is 1-1 in the UFC. So,
who she lose to?
Her loss was to Angela Hill via stoppage.
Oh, shit.
A rare stoppage for Angela Hill, created by an eyeball vagina above her right eye via an elbow from the clinch. It was a nasty cut.
Eye pussy.
But it was mostly the position it was in. I mean, right here on the inside, bleeding into the eye.
It's not
so
good.
So kind of like how Max's was against Dustin?
Yeah. I mean, just...
Oh, that would hurt so bad.
The fight cannot continue, and it was kind of early in the third. Not early. It was like the middle of the third round when I stopped it. And her first fight was a loss to Amanda Hibas.
Okay. So,
that check's kind of good.
She's 13-2 overall. She's fought the better girls, probably. But... in terms of styles, she's going to get picked out a lot. It's just whether or not she can land the finishing shot or if she can take this girl down. I didn't see her try to wrestle at all. She was just pressing forward trying to punch.
Do you think there's any value in, because I haven't looked at the stats or anything yet, any value in Nunes at plus 130?
Yeah, for sure. Because I would say that if this fight goes to decision, she wins it.
Okay.
she's not going to win it via stoppage, and Carnelossi is not going to outpoint her. That's just not going to happen unless she just like really bullies her somehow. But
or takes her down, which, I guess, if that's something she can do.
Which she can, because she's a big strawweight, and Nunes is going to be a little strawweight. But I just see her moving around a lot and just picking at her.
Nice. Sounds kind of fun. I'm down.
Yeah, this one is okay.
I'm down.
I'm not super excited for it, but it's going to be a decent fight.
Next up, we have Dana Botgurel versus Brandon Davis. This should be action-packed.
Yeah, this is a fight I actually am excited for. So my guy, and sorry, Nick, I gotta hate on you, but it's Botgurel Dana. So,
oh, it's Botgurel Dana?
Yeah, first of all, it's Botgurel, nice. And for whatever reason, they want the last name first, just like Chinese people. He's from Mongolia, so Botgurel is first, even though that's his last name.
Tight.
Mans has the hardest nickname in the game, Storm. Shit's hard.
Storm.
Yeah, Storm.
Hard.
Solid.
I remembered him because he is a left hook killer. Finished Guido Canetti and then finished also his most recent fight. You're going to have to remind me who that is.
I got you. One sec.
He iced him in the first round. Dodd. Yeah, Natibi Dodd. Iced them both with left hooks.
Bottom ball.
And so he's 2-1 in the UFC. Lost to a guy whose name I can't pronounce. It's like Ateleon Haley or something.
Yep, that is exactly what it is.
Sorry. Because I know I butchered it, but...
The guy just took him down, didn't he?
Yeah, he kind of took him down. He controlled the striking a little bit, too, but Dana's got real strong hands, good movement, man, just a really good boxing-based attack. He shows everything that you want to see out of a guy who's going to try to use the hands on you. He's fun to watch, and he's got that, like, killer instinct, man.
Yeah.
Like, you can tell that he's trying to land shots that are going to hurt. So he's fun to watch. I was excited to take this fight when you were assigning fights. I was like, give me Storm. Give me Bakari. I was like,
give me Sarge.
Yeah, Ryan, the toughest nigga out here, he picked the Sajara Eubanks fight first on purpose as his researched fight.
I'm proud of you.
It was unbelievable. I was impressed. I clapped at my phone when I read that text message.
It hurts so much to put that. I was like, yeah, I'll take that.
But yeah, he's got good footwork, man. He even makes it hard for himself to be kicked. I like watching him fight a lot. He's good.
Does Brandon Davis have any value, plus 140?
Yeah, probably. So Brandon is returning to the UFC. This is his second stint.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, he got cut. That's crazy.
Yeah, he got cut. He went 2-5 in his original run in the UFC, so he didn't do well, right? But no hoes on that list. Lost to Sabit via knee bar.
Kind of good.
Lost to Kyung Ho Kang via decision.
Kind of good.
And forced Giga Chikadze to a split decision.
Wow.
Real good.
Those are some notable L's. I mean, he's 14-8 overall, I think. But he's more well-rounded than Dana is, and he's going to be a step up in competition. He can definitely try to enforce the wrestling, and his striking's pretty solid, too. Like, he's a good fighter, man.
How many times did he fight outside the UFC?
Three. Three straight victories, and well-balanced. One via decision, one via KO, one via rear naked choke.
Nice.
So,
you got the true hat trick.
Yeah. This is a good test for Dana.
He's got a win over Randy Costa, too, who's not bad.
Yeah, Randy's pretty good. We get to see how good he is for real, because this guy, Davis, is pretty solid, man. Like, yeah. He's not like a top-tier talent, but he's going to be a tough test. He's a tough out.
He's no hoe.
Beat Austin Arnett in Dana White Contender Series. That's not a bad win. Austin Arnett's tough.
He'll beat Dana's best win if Dana beats him. So, overall, I'm excited for this one. I expect a lot of action out of this fight.
Fuck yeah, brother.
Davis likes to press. He doesn't go backwards. And Dana is just always pressing as well. He always takes the center of the octagon. Lands that good check left hook. Ices niggas with it.
Shit, yeah.
Coolest version of left hook Larry I've seen so far.
I got super happy when he just mentions Zabit because he comes back.
Yeah, dude, he's coming back. It's going to be tight.
This fight should have some action as well. Ludovic Klein, Nate Landwehr. Klein is minus 360. Fairly he's heavy favorite. Landwehr is plus 270. Landwehr keeps an absolutely insane pace. Basically lands and gets landed on 7 times per minute. That is a whole lot of landing.
That's crazy.
Landed on. Klein's number is pretty standard. They're like around 3, and he lands more than he gets landed on, which is ideal.
I wouldn't want to be forced into a fight that's 7-7.
That's a lot.
That other person's working overtime.
Yeah. Ludovic Klein can really wrestle 3.69 per 15 minutes, but Landwehr's takedown defense is pretty good, 85%. Both coming off losses, Landwehr got KO'd kind of viciously and has been knocked out twice in the UFC. Not great. Klein coming off a decision loss, but before that had an insane knockout of Shane Young, just like teching his ass. Head kicked him and punched him, and it was brutal.
That sounds bad for his opponent.
It was brutal. Shane Young, Hurricane Shane, got sent to the ether.
Pulling out for a homie.
Klein by KO seems pretty likely here.
Yeah, I mean, unless his opponent wrestles him.
Well, Landwehr's Klein is more likely to wrestle. Oh, Landwehr has not even attempted a takedown.
Oh, well, yeah, this sounds bad for him, actually.
Yeah.
The other guy's got the knockout power. He's been finished a couple times.
And he that just gets hit a lot.
And that guy's the better wrestler.
Yeah.
So, better go up the train tracks.
That's a pretty free money.
Yeah, that sounds rough.
Unfortunately. Because Klein is really a hitter, too. He has got some thudders. Lupita Godinez, Luana Carolina.
Yeah.
This last minute change actually kind of made me.
Oh, wait, who has this? You have it?
Yeah, bro, because I was supposed to be Sarge.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, it's suddenly a good fight now.
Yeah, well, it's basically the same fight, except I think Loopy's just better.
Yeah, Loopy's better. Yeah, Loopy's that's why it's a good fight. I like watching her fight.
Loopy.
She's tight.
Who just fought fucking 7 days ago. Yeah, dude. And what, she won by submission? She subbed her, right?
Yeah, she subbed her. Yeah,
she subbed her. She ran through her pretty freely.
Yeah, she whooped her ass.
Very good wrestling. Super good in the clinch. Fuck, what's the other shit? Carolina, I can't remember that.
Luana,
she's
Carolina.
Like super long and rangy, dude.
She's huge.
Yeah, she's like kind of awkward. I feel like I've seen her fight before.
It's like, it's weird because she has kind of like this relaxed style, kind of like B. Malecki, where like they just try to stay real long, real rangy. They're not really going to press the action, but because they're so much bigger, they're going to just jab you, pick you apart. She has really solid Muay Thai. She doesn't want to clinch up with fucking Loopy. Loopy's going to take her down. Her takedown defense isn't that good from the couple fights I've seen of Carolina. It's bad news bears if she goes to the ground. She doesn't really have an active guard. She's just kind of content sitting there. Yeah. And she'll maybe throw a couple of fucking elbows, but she's like willing to concede the round and the position. Loopy's super fucking active. So
yeah, dude.
She's going to have to keep her offer. I mean, closing distance is going to be kind of tricky because this chick does have some thudders, and I think mainly because of her long fucking levers, and she hits you clean. She's very technically sound, but she's limited. If I had to favor someone, I'm taking Loop, but I think I'm going to take Loopy. I imagine her not cutting weight. Yeah,
if she's minus 220, Luana Carolina's plus 175.
Yeah, I think I'll take Loopy. The fact is that she's moving up in a weight class, like, doesn't really worry me that she just fought last week. She didn't take any fucking damage. It's just, she's really good at fucking imposing her game plan, man.
Yeah, you know, so I've seen Loopy fight twice, and both fights when she closed the distance, she mauled the other girl.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's fucking all over him, so it'll be tricky closing distance, but if she's able to do that successfully, she's going to win this fight. And that's two quick paychecks. I guess four quick paychecks.
7 day turnaround. She's right up there with our boy Hamza.
Yeah, she broke the record.
Damn.
Fuck that. Give Boris two niggas in one night.
He asked for it.
He did ask for it.
He wants it. Next up, we have Ramzan Emiev and Danny Roberts. Emiev's is minus 325, Roberts plus 250. Emiev's just like super safe and kind of methodical and slow, but is difficult to deal with. He can wrestle his ass, but like the most rush, like no striking really. I mean, he has power, but he just, at least in his UFC fights, has kept like the slowest pace that you could possibly imagine.
Every single PFL Russian. Yes.
But he is pretty good. He can really wrestle. Robert's takedown defense is not good. 53%. I think if Danny Roberts can keep it on the feet, I think he can make it competitive for sure. Yeah. But it sort of just seems like it's just a matter of time until he gets taken down and kind of mauled.
So on the ground, is he more just trying to establish position and land ground and pound, or is he going?
I don't know if we really know.
Or is that he's just decision among others?
I mean, I feel like the little I've seen him fight, it's been mostly control.
Yeah.
He's like a half guard.
He's just super safe. Super safe. Yeah. He's good, but he's just safe.
I was just hoping to see, like, oh, could there be, like, a sneaky prop bet of him by, like, club if he's...
Yeah, maybe. I mean, it might be worth, like, looking back through some of his non-UFC fights to see if there's anybody that was a similar type of opponent where it's like Danny Roberts can't, at least historically speaking, can't do a whole lot on the mat.
I hope he comes in with that new Carla Esparza ground and pound dog.
That shit's rude.
Wherever it she got rude. Her new shit from. Reminded me of Tatiana Suarez.
Nasty.
Eventually, we'll see her fight again.
She hurt her knee again.
Nice. She like blew her shit up.
I'm so sad.
Let's talk Andrew Sanchez versus Bruno Silva.
Love you, Tati.
The Sanch.
The Dirty Sanch?
The Dirty Sanch.
Dude's tough as fucking nails.
Dude, just one of the toughest human beings to ever walk the face of the earth, huh?
I hate that that's like, we put so much stock into being tough because really it just gets you hurt, but Jesus Christ, there is no better word to describe Andrew Sanchez than fucking
He's got
tough.
legendary toughness.
It's a real thing, man. Like, yeah, go for it.
Hell yeah.
Give my dog a snack.
Yeah, a little nugget eating. We eat good around here, Nick.
Bro, look at him
chasing.
Got bigger from the time that he went outside and came back
that
in.
That is the Swede talking, sir.
What are you talking about?
I mean, Andrew Sanchez does it all. He mixes it up really well at times when he follows a game plan, or this shit's going to turn into a fucking brawl and he's going to.
Seems sort of inevitable, right?
Yeah, it's really kind of just one of those things. It's like
slugfest talk.
Before the zombie, you know, went and refined himself and found like Zen and all that shit, when it was like, bro, yeah, like he's kind of fighting composed, but we know the zombie's going to come out at some point. It's kind of like that with Andrew Sanchez. Bruno Silva has the fucking thudders.
Yeah, I was saying, Bruno's going to bring it out.
Yeah, Bruno's going to bring it out, bro. He's a fucking berserker who, in round one, comes out of like a bat out of hell.
Is he gas?
His cardio's not great.
Yeah.
Like, I wouldn't be surprised if Andrew gets out of the first round if he doesn't come back to stop Bruno.
Yeah.
But Jesus Christ, it's kind of like fucking Iwan Kutaleba, where it's like, dude, that first 5 minutes is hell. Like, don't talk about the Devin Clark fight, but it's like that first 5 minutes is fucking hell, man. So,
yeah, generally speaking,
Andrew gets hit clean. Bruno hits people pretty fucking clean. I could see Andrew actually trying to clinch up, maybe work a couple takedowns, try and get some of the sting off those shots early, get out of that first round. But what I actually think is going to happen is it's going to be a barn burner, and Andrew's going to get caught by this by one of them big right fucking hands, and that's going
to
be it.
Yeah, sounds like we're about to get a slugfest.
Yeah, we're going to get a fucking barn burner.
Yeah,
hopefully.
Got fight of the night.
Hopefully, or we're just going to get a shitty point fighting.
This next one might have fight of the night capabilities. Well, honestly, the card is, while highly irrelevant, could be highly entertaining.
Yeah, I say the midness of this card comes in the fact that most people don't know who anyone is. But there's actually a lot of potential for some good fights. There's some matchups I'm excited about.
Yeah. Julian Marquez, Jordan Wright is one of them.
Yes, dude. Julian Marquez is tight.
It's a cool fight. They're both tight. My first note on this fight is sick.
Yeah, dude.
It's just a cool fight, man. Jordan Wright's coming in at +200, Marquez -250. And I've been like bouncing back and forth on whether or not I think there's value on Wright. I think that anybody that is as serious of a finisher as Jordan Wright is has to be taken seriously by anybody. He's 12-1, all 12 wins by finish. Most of them are in the first round. Like, he's devastating.
Yeah, man.
And, like, very, very composed when he hurts people and puts people in bad positions. And
well, he's super athletic.
He just knows what to do.
He's got a lot of techniques.
Unfortunately, it can come back at him, which it did very much in the Buckley fight. Did also in his Dana White Contender Series fight. I was looking back at the notes. That ended up getting turned into a no contest for some reason. Probably weed. That was when everybody was popping for weed and they were turning them into a no contest. Almost definitely that's what that was. He got knocked out in that fight as well early.
Oof.
So he's chinny.
He might be. It's possible he's chinny. Now, the Buckley fight, he wore a lot of damage before he got stopped.
Yeah, it seems
but he
like
got hurt really bad in the first round and then stopped.
He just takes risks, man, and gets hit. And then, like, also Buckley is really athletic. Like, Jordan's athletic, but so is Buckley.
Yeah. That was somebody who's going to get somebody out of there.
Yeah.
Because he hurt Buckley at a point as well. Like, that fight could have definitely gone the other way. It's that they're the same person in a lot of ways, man. They're both, like, big-time front
big
runners.
Black men, yes.
They're both big black guys. Absolutely. Jordan Wright's the whitest guy that's ever lived.
Man, Beverly Hills Ninja, though, or Beverly Hills something.
Yes,
Beverly Hills Ninja. He's a sick nickname. He's dope, dude. His whole thing is cool.
That's the whitest nickname I've ever heard in my life.
Julian Marquez's whole thing is cool, too. He's fun. He's good on the mic. He had the Miley Cyrus moment. Everybody loved it. He became kind of like an internet celebrity for a sec.
Yeah, he's funny, dude.
He's funny, and he's like
he fucked up his shot, though. He could have clapped, but he didn't. He might have.
He might have. Does a podcast with a porn star.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that. That's funny. Anyways, Julian Marquez is an interesting dude. So it's like a good personality matchup as well. I'll be interested to see how that plays out, like, in the fight. Because, like, you can see their personalities in the way that they compete.
See, Julian's weird to me. He's much more, like, ferocious than his personality would let you believe.
Yeah, like, I guess, I get what you mean.
Like, the devastating nature of how he hits people, I guess you could say it's equally boisterous to, like, how jovial he is.
Yeah, but exactly.
But it's still weird to me when you have somebody who's, like, really, like, really friendly. Nice. And, yeah, like, that's true. Also have thudders. It's just
that's
weird.
That's true. And he
it's an odd
he does hurt people. And he finishes people, too, man.
Yeah, he fucks
all of his wins are by finish, also. Six KOs, three subs. Has two decision losses.
He hit him hard, and then he strangled him. That show was vicious.
So the more I think about it, the way that Marquez fights, he puts a lot of forward pressure. He hits really hard. Like, he's in your face from the very beginning. The odds probably are correct, but we'll see what Jordan Wright by KO ends up coming in at, and especially by KO in the first round. Because if Jordan Wright's going to win this fight, it's probably by knockout in the first round.
What makes me want to pick Marquez is because he's fucking huge, man.
Yeah.
I don't understand how that dude even makes 85.
Yeah. I think the smartest money is probably going to be him by decision, maybe. I don't know. He could get right somebody out of there.
I just see him get him out of there, man. Like,
yeah.
Even if it's not like he just sleeps him, which is not what I think will happen. I think it'll just be an accumulation of punishment.
Yeah, he probably will knock him out. You're right.
They'll both just be taking risks. They'll be hitting each other. And I just think Marquez is going to get the better of it. Yeah, he's just big, man.
Yeah, he's a tank.
I could be wrong, though. Jordan could just bust out some fucking ninja shit and just ice him.
It's true. It's fun. That's why we do the fights.
Yeah, that's why we're here.
Next up, Manoel Fiorot versus Myra Buena Silva.
I believe that I have this one. And so this is the second fight that I'm actually really excited about. No help from Fight Pass because Manoel Fiorot, her fights were not viewable.
It was hot.
That's my best French impression or accent.
It's got to be more throaty, dog.
Really?
Yeah, dude. French is kicking my ass right now.
Well, yeah, that's why I asked you because I know you're taking it. I'm like,
kicking my ass.
Give it to us, right?
No.
Give us Manoel Fiorot.
No.
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 That was very throaty, man.
The row's got to be more throaty.
Dude, it couldn't be more throaty.
Pause. By the way, the pause.
So Firo is a banger. She's real strong Muay Thai, but also she's like got some traditional martial arts influence. She gets kind of sideways and she throws the lead side kicks and front kicks a lot, and she's real patient. And then like when she enters her punches, she also does like that kind of blitz thing. But she's really, really aggressive forward pressure. She's not like the counter fighter, like the typical traditional martial artist, which I think that's mostly her Muay Thai background. She is 7-1 with 6 KOs.
Five straight.
Yep. Her loss was to fucking Leah McCourt's fine ass.
I don't even know who that
not
is.
A bad loss.
2-0 in the UFC. Both of them were finishes in the second round. Accumulation of punishment type where she was just picking the other girl apart on the feet and just started landing some devastating strikes and the ref had to stop it. Both were just pretty vicious beatings, pretty vicious finishing sequences. And so she's coming to bring the action, which is going to be amazing. And then her opponent, man, I can't remember how they said it, but it wasn't a H sound for the R. That's what blew my mind.
What is this chick?
She's Brazilian. That's why it's weird. But Maíra, I think is how they said it. Bueno Silva. She is also 7-1. Only one KO, 5 submissions. She's from Shoot the Box.
Oh, shit.
And, nigga, she fights like it. I fucking loved her, dude.
So she's going to get slept?
No, I don't think so. I think I'm about to get a fucking banger. Like, I was so excited for this fight after watching her fight. So she's 2-1-1 in the UFC. It's got a draw in there. Montana De La Rosa, I believe. It was a split draw, too. So, weird. But both of her UFC wins are by armbar, and they're both in the first round. And they're both off of her back. So really, really, really strong jiu-jitsu and super comfortable on the feet, man. Like she presses forward. Reminds me kind of not the same attacking style, but like her stance and how she presses forward reminds me of Shogun. And so
hard.
I love how she fights. this is a super exciting style matchup for me, because on one side we got a shooter box fighter who's not going to give up ground. On the other side, we got the fighter who's probably a little more technical in terms of the striking, but who may not have the ground game to deal with the shooter box fighter.
It's true.
And so I definitely expect fireworks on the feet, but it's going to be one-sided on the ground if it gets there. And so it's going to be tight, man. This is going to be a banger.
You got me hyped for it.
This fight's going to be action-packed. I'm expecting a good fight out of this. Somebody's getting stopped.
Hell fucking yeah. And it's not that often in this weight class that you're like, somebody's going to get fucked up in this fight.
Yeah, man.
Somebody's going to get fucked.
You love to see it.
Yeah, I'm excited.
Jim Miller, Eric Gonzalez. Ryan, my first question for you is...
Who the fuck is Eric Gonzalez? Yes.
Whom?
Who are these niggas? Yeah.
Whom is this?
He... Dude. I scoured the internet, sir.
I'm proud of you.
I tried finding if this was like a late-night replacement. Well, it's just weird because it's like, damn, that's your UFC debut. Like, Jim fucking Miller. Who did you piss off?
Yeah.
You fuck Sean Shelby's wife?
That's a tough pull in your first fight.
Yeah, like, it just didn't, well, like, the matchmaking doesn't really make it.
Let's guess what they are before we look. I have absolutely no idea.
Jim Miller's probably minus 450.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, minus 400. So
I bet it's not that much. I bet it's like, I bet he's like minus 275.
Oh, that's crazy. Jim Miller has big jiu-jitsu.
Jeez. He's minus 230. You guys don't know shit.
Apparently.
Yeah, but...
Hey, man.
Fuck. Jim Miller's just lost too many fights, dude.
Yeah, I feel that. But after watching Eric Gonzalez, he doesn't really have much for you on the ground.
Okay. That's
he's not going to wrestle with you.
He's supposed to lose, to be fair. He does have 8 KOs.
Yeah, but that's the thing. And it's kind of misleading because... He doesn't really set things up. He throws big looping shit and he catches people and he's got pretty good power.
Okay.
But it's... I don't think the guy should be in the UFC.
It seems like they just got a guy to brawl.
Yeah, like they brought a guy in here where it's like he's either going to catch Jim Miller early with some shit or Jim Miller going to take him down and strangle him. And I am leaning towards Jim Miller taking him down and strangling him.
So it sounds like we got ourselves there's levels to this shit kind of fight.
Yeah, because like I still think Jim Miller's a decent fighter.
See, decent. I don't know. Not to disrespect Jim Miller, but like his losses aren't like his losses are Joe Selecki, who got destroyed by Vince Pichot, who got destroyed. Dude, it was so one sided.
Joe Selecki, it wasn't a good fighter.
I know
he's a good prospect.
I'm not saying it's a bad loss, but it's not like
so. Jim Miller is a journeyman, right? Yeah, and he is in the twilight of his career.
There you go. That's a good way of putting it.
But he's still Jim fucking Miller, dog.
Yeah, he should win the fight. He should win the fight, for sure.
Jiu-jitsu is fucking incredible. And if you are not ready to deal with high-level jiu-jitsu, Jim Miller beats you.
Yeah, period. He should win. I mean, and he is still a substantial favorite. Minus 230 is...
Him by submission, I'm telling you, looks like a lock.
Yeah.
Let's see if we've got odds for that. I bet we do.
Yeah, dude, because like I kept thinking, I saw, oh shit, this dude's got a fuck ton of knockouts. This should be super fun. And then you go back and watch, and you're just like...
Has he been submitted?
I don't think he has been twice.
Yeah.
That fight was actually what made me like Joe Selecki. I was like, he fucking out-grappled Jim Miller. He out-rolled him.
Easy.
Yeah, like, his jiu-jitsu was better than Jim Miller's. I was like, holy shit, dude. You're good.
Joe's a motherfucker, dude. You gotta fix that cardio issue up, but he's good.
He's 64 years old, dude. What's he gonna fix?
No, not Jim Miller.
Oh,
no. Joe Selecki's like,
but you're talking about Jim Miller.
No,
Jim Miller's like our cardio for days.
Isn't Jim Miller's cardio pretty good?
Yeah, he Jim Miller has nothing to fix. He is what he is.
Yeah,
he is going to be.
He has reached where he is going to be.
64 years old.
Jim Miller is going to be a guy who can strangle anybody who is close to his height and weight for the rest of his life.
Oh shit, the Brazilian Diaz brother.
Let's talk co-main event, Carlos Felipe.
Boy.
What? Oh.
That's his nickname right there, dog. You Boy. You wasn't just going to say his shit?
It sounded weird. It sounded like you like threw your voice.
No, I said boy.
fighting Andre Arlovsky. Look at how jacked Arlovsky is in his Sherdog pick. Good lord. I got to show you this.
Oh, dude. That was when he was still like...
Yeah, they used the old school Arlovsky.
Lord.
That's all Zool.
Man, Arlovsky, a resume review of Arlovsky is wild to scroll back through.
A whole bunch of green for a minute, a whole bunch of red for a minute, a whole bunch of green. Yep.
31 and 20
Let's look at the breakdown of the wins and losses. For 17 wins by KO, 3 by sub, 11 decisions. Then he's been knocked out. He's been knocked out. Guess how many times he's been knocked out.
He's got 20 losses. 12.
9?
12.
11.
11? I should have said fucking 11.
It's a lot. It's too many. He's been subbed twice, decisions.
Who the hell subbed him?
Let's see. Let's scroll back.
Oh, he got real Aspinall. Nigga choked by Tom Aspinall.
Aspinall beat the shit out of him.
Tom Aspinall did play.
Hey, man, what are you going to do?
It's almost like Tom Aspinall's pretty good.
Charge it to
what
the game.
What are you going
to
do? He got knocked out by Rosenstreich.
With the jab.
This was a rough little spell for him. Of kind of boring fights, too. Like, just this was just not good. This whole Augusto Sakai, Walt Harris, Shamil Abdurakhimov, Tai Tuivasa stream of... It was just bad. It was ass.
Holy shit. Man. Go through that murderer's row. Jesus.
This
no,
one?
Sir. No. With the red.
The losses? Miocic. Yeah, Miocic, Overeem, Barnett, Ngannou, Tibera in a row.
Hey,
yikes.
He should have retired halfway through that
Barnett's
streak.
The other person that he Jack lost him? To. But that said, he's still beating like decent dudes. Like Felipe Lins, not terrible. Tanner Bozier, not terrible. Jay Sherman, not terrible, but not great.
Yeah, I don't know about those last two.
Beat Rothwell.
Okay, he's
2019. That's a legit
solid.
One. Like, he should definitely... Like, he has a case to still be fighting. In his last 1, 2, 3, 4, 5... He's 4... Here you go. 4-2 in his last 6. And his losses are to Aspinall and Rosenstrike.
That's good.
He should be in the UFCs, though. For sure. If he wants.
No.
He
needs to quit, dude.
Well, I mean, he's too old, for sure. But, like, if you're just talking about... If we're just saying what are his performances, he's...
Okay.
Competing well enough to still be in the UFC.
So, all I'm going to say is that when we're talking about if someone should retire...
Ryan hates it.
Mid.
For me, personally, my opinion, I should preface by saying, we're not talking about if they still have fights left.
Because listen, a guy like Andre Jetta, I don't even think people should fight, okay?
A guy like Andre Arlovsky is going to have fights left until he's 60. That's not the point.
Yeah,
the point is from where he was at to where he is now, he should quit.
He's about the same as he was 10 years ago.
I mean, not in standing. He is degraded considerably.
14 years ago, he was really good.
I mean, he was a champion. At like the peak,
right?
Like people were afraid of him.
But what I'm saying is, it's been a while since he's been not the champion. Like
It's been a long time, and he has lost relevance within the division pretty greatly since then.
But he's not like at the low point of that. My point is it's been worse for him in the past.
He's actually come back around. He lost. Was at a point where he should have retired.
For sure.
And then like has come back.
Exactly.
And managed to find a winning fighting style that's, albeit a little more boring. But he
so
is
so boring.
He is
a lot
again.
Of it boring.
So boring.
Listen, I'm trying to be kind to Andre Arlovsky. I like him. He's a good fighter.
I cannot believe that this podcast is an hour and 18 minutes. This was unbelievable.
I want to see him retire and fix his nose and live a good life.
Me too. I agree. I'm with you. Okay. I'm with you on that for sure. Okay. Let's talk about his opponent, Boy. His last two fights are split decision wins.
Mid.
And then he also got the unanimous decision win over Jorge De Castro. His first fight in the UFC was a majority decision loss to Sergey Spivak, who's pretty good.
Okay, quick detour. You remember when people thought Jorgen De Castro was good?
Yeah.
Because he knocked out some scrub.
Yeah, bro, they thought this nigga was like UFC the fucking second coming of Mark Hunt.
Yeah, I was like, no, dude.
I think this guy might actually be decent, though.
Yeah, he's decent. I just wanted to...
6 KOs, 5 decisions.
I hate on the UFC hype machine for a second. It wasn't even Jorgen's fault. It was a beautiful knockout.
Yeah.
But like, the hype got behind him way too quick.
Yeah.
I put a whole bunch of money on Jorgen to beat Greg Hardy, though, and that nigga let me down. Bitch ass.
Sucks.
Oof.
I don't really even know what to expect out of this. They're both... It's probably going to be kind of boring, to be honest.
Yeah, I expect kind of a bad fight, to be honest with you, because Arlovsky is going to like try to work into the clinch, work a trip, take down. He is... following the full Jackson Wing pedigree.
Their
fighting formula. They don't let the fighter do whatever they're good at. They're like, this is how you win. And then they just
Holly Holm, I know you're a great kickboxer, but let's clinch.
So
the odds are basically pick him. Carlos Felipe is minus 120. Arlovski's minus 110. So
give me Andre.
I expect Andre to grind out another boring decision, maybe.
I'm going to go with Felipe. I don't really have a good reason why. I think maybe he's going to knock him out. I just think maybe Arlovski's been surviving.
I hope so. I don't want to see Andre get hurt, but like, I just want to see a fight. I want to see him in an exciting fight for once.
Well, I think Carlos Felipe also knows that he's been given a chance at a spotlight here, right? Like, this is a name. This is an interesting opponent. You haven't actually, you're 3-0 in the UFC, but you haven't really done great.
Yeah.
So, like, you got to put the foot on the gas at some point, especially as a heavyweight with dyed blonde hair who talks mad shit. Go knock somebody out. So, I think he's going to come out and try to knock him out.
Oh, I mean,
that could definitely happen.
I hope something interesting happens.
Yeah, me too.
I hope I don't watch Andre. Hoping
something interesting happens.
Fucking half guard for 15 minutes.
Yeah. Hard pass. Aspen Ladd, Norma Dumont was not supposed to be the main event. Was supposed to be Norma Dumont and Holly Holm. Holly Holm was injured.
Norma salty about losing that fight.
I'm really sure what happened exactly. But maybe they'll make that later. I hope they do. That's not a bad fight. This fight isn't terrible. It just is odd. Aspen Ladd definitely should not stay in this weight class. She just doesn't have the frame, man.
Yeah, but I just think she's too big to make 35.
I think I think she just eats bad.
Yeah, maybe. A lot of niggas eat back, bro.
Yeah, but she just needs to call Mackenzie Dern and be like, yo.
What did you do?
Hook me up with your nutritionist and she'll be fine.
Well, you know, Norma's supposed to go down too, though. Norma's not supposed to stay at 45. So.
Yeah, Norma's built like a 45.
Norma has more business being at 45 than. She does. And I think it's going to be obvious.
Yeah.
I don't know what's going to happen. I think Norma's got more tools on the feet. Aspen is like all will based on the feet. Yeah. She's just like, I'm going to plod forward and just take one and give one.
I think Norma's going to put hands on her, dog.
She should. She should. Yeah. If she can do it moving backwards, which she's been able to, she'll be fine. Yeah. And I think she should piece her up.
Ass.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think this actually could kind of look like that fight. Though Aspen Ladd is probably faster. Yeah, but Felicia can wrestle better, probably.
And Felicia has some surprisingly good kicks.
Yeah.
I wouldn't.
Felicia Spencer doesn't suck.
I wouldn't give all that to Aspen, honestly. Felicia's got some pretty diverse taekwondo, dog.
Yeah. I mean, Norma Dumont at plus 110 is.
Sir, what?
Interesting to me.
Oh, I'm about to put some money on my girl.
Oh, that's free money, dude.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. It just seems to me like it's Norma Dumont's fight to lose. Yeah, dude. I mean, the only way Aspen Ladd beats her is if she's able to take her down and mount her and beat the shit out of her. But can she do that for three rounds? I don't think so.
Does Norma have jiu-jitsu?
Isn't it five? I'm pretty sure Norma's a black belt.
No, that's what I'm saying. It's like can Aspen Ladd do that for three of the five rounds to win a decision? I doubt it. And can she stop her? Probably not. Maybe, but probably not. Aspen Ladd does stop people, to be fair.
At
35.
I don't know, man. I'm feeling normal. Maybe it's just me standing.
I am as well.
I just don't see Aspen winning this fight.
I am as well. I'm definitely picking Norma Dumont.
Yeah.
I think the odds are exactly opposite of what they should be.
That's cool, dog. That's free money.
I'm not mad about it.
Niggas. Like, I think it'll be a competitive fight, but I definitely see Norma winning.
I agree. Yeah, I'm not going to do a gambling podcast this week because we actually gave you gambling advice in this podcast, so suck me.
Yep.
Bet on the cheeks, dog. Bet on normal.
I've got a Brazilian flag on my desk, though. I have to.
Bomb squad. Bro, that shit's hard, man.